Ephesians chapter 6. We're coming down the stretch in this book, having been here all year long, starting here, our first week in January together. Many great, wonderful truths we have heard from in God's Word, and today is no different. But in this section, Paul starts out the words, "Finally, my brethren." We're going to read verses 10 to 20, even though the focus of our sermon this morning will just simply be verses 10 to 13. This is the word of the Lord. Hear it, you His people. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, again for your word. And now, Lord, we ask that you would minister to us through your word and through your spirit, through the preaching of your word, what you would have us to know, and enabling us, Lord, to be equipped for the battles that you place us in. Strengthen us, Lord, even this morning to hear, to be prepared, and to be changed by you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Paul does say in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren." And he's telling us we are at the end of the letter. But here at the last part of this letter, I have something I want to tell you that is very important. I have taught you the hope and promises of the gospel of Christ, as we looked at them in verses or chapters 1 to 3. I have taught you the fruit of the new man in the gospel of Christ, as we have been looking at in chapters 4 through 6. And now he says, I want to teach you in all these things, in the hope and promise of the gospel, in the fruit that God is working out in your life, that he is working in you by his Spirit, that all these great and wonderful things is not happening in a utopian vacuum. You have resistance. All these things that you have been called to, you have an opposition. There is opposition to the hope and promise of the gospel. There is opposition to the new man who has been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that you know that. I know that you know that when a person comes to Christ, and that is great and wonderful, that the rest of the world doesn't say, "Oh, we're going to lay down and we're not going to oppose you anymore because you are now a Christian." That's not how it works. In fact, it's just the opposite. When a person is part of the world and not in Christ, the world doesn't oppose them. They are theirs. It is when they change teams, so to speak, and they become a person in Jesus Christ that the world rises up, and evil rises up, and the devil rises up. And we need to know this. We need to know that the great and mighty things that God has done for us, the great and mighty things he is doing by his word and his spirit in producing fruit in us, is not without opposition. And verses 10 to 13 tell us that this opposition is spiritual. It is a spiritual battle, a spiritual enemy who will not let up. But lest you be discouraged, this same passage also tells us that the Lord is your strength. And that's what you need to know. That's what you need to know more than anything. That is, the Lord is on your side and you have the power and might of the same Lord who promises and gives salvation. You have the same power and might of the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead to be your strength in these battles. That is true. But you must believe it, as we will find out, by faith. As Paul talks later about the armor of God in detail. This strength is yours. This passage that we read calls us today to rely on that strength, to go to that strength. And as you see, as we read this passage, I hope you see that there is a war going on here. The Scripture is not saying, get ready for battle in case it breaks out. It's not saying that. The war is on. The battle is raging. And you are in it. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to do battle? Are you ready to fight in the war that has already broken out? The war started when Satan rebelled against God in heaven. The war continued when Satan tempted and seduced Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the war continues today between the evil one and God's Christ and His church. You, God's people. And yet the victory has already been won. That's kind of a complicated situation, isn't it? We're called to fight in a battle and a victory that's already been won. That's because the enemy is still fighting. Because the evil one is still fighting against us. And so we are still in this battle. You may have heard or read of stories of when nations are in conflict and war, that when these nations finally agree that the war is over and they even sign a treaty, that there are people out there who are still fighting. People out there who still believe in their cause. People out there who still won't give up for anything. And that's the kind of evil that we are fighting. That's the kind of devil that we are fighting, who won't give up for anything. And so the war continues on, but the victory has already been won by Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. We are in this battle. We are to be ready for battle. But our strength, our victory, is in Christ. And while we still live here on this earth where there are evil forces and powers still battling us, while the devil has been defeated on the cross of Christ, he has not yet given up. And so we are still in a battle. He is still seeking to tear down the church of Christ. And I want you to remember that Christ is at the center of this battle. The devil probably could care less about you, but he would love to tear down Christ. And so he comes after you, Christ's body, to do that. It is about Christ, this battle. And it is in Christ that this battle has been won, and it is in Christ that we are to get our strength. And so the question is then, will you, as God's people, will you stand or fall in this battle? And the answer to that question is found here in verses 10 to 20. And there are three things that we're going to look at in this passage. First, today we're going to look at to be prepared to stand in battle. In the coming week or two, we'll be looking at be properly equipped in battle. And then thirdly, we'll be looking at be praying in battle. And those are what we're going to see in verses 14 to 17. But today we're going to be looking at be prepared to stand in battle. And to stand in battle does not mean to take an inactive position, but it means to be able to stand rather than be knocked down, rather than to fall, to stand up and be enabled to continue in the fight. And so the first thing we must do to be prepared to stand in battle is going to our strength. And that's what we see here in verse 10. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In order to fight this battle, in order to stand in this battle, we must go to our greatest resource, and that is the strength of the Lord. That is the Lord Himself. Just as we wives, husbands, parents, children, slaves, and masters, as we have been learning, have been called to do our calling according to God's will, and to do it in the Lord. Everything that we saw in previous passages of Scripture here have always had that tagline, haven't they? Parent in the Lord. Wives, submit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives in the Lord. Children, obey in the Lord. And so it is here. Fight this battle. Stand up in the Lord and the strength of His might. Because it is a spiritual battle. And we are to do this in the power of His might. And this phrase here in verse 10 that says, be strong, is actually literally saying, be being strengthened. In other words, you don't just go to the well one time to get your strength. You keep going. You keep being strengthened in the Lord every moment. Because in the moment that you don't, in the moment that you rely on your own strength, you will fall. You will fall. We cannot stand against the devil in our own strength. He is too powerful for us in and of ourselves. You may remember in Acts chapter 19 about the seven sons of Sceva. There were these Jewish exorcists who were going around and trying to cast out demons. And because they'd seen the apostles doing it in the name of the Lord, they said, hey, we'll do that. We can do that. We can call on the name of Jesus, though we don't know Him. We'll call upon His name and use it as a magical incantation. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 19 tells us, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. They did these things. And the evil spirit whom they were trying to cast out said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That is someone who's trying to do something in a spiritual battle in their own strength. Though they even called on the name of the Lord, they used it as a magical incantation, so to speak. They did not know the Lord, and were not truly relying on the Lord's strength. So it is of the utmost importance when we fight this battle that we are in, that we go and be strengthened. And we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. So often we look at the battle. We look at what's happening. We look at the situation. We see others falling. We see the church not proceeding as much as we thought it should be. And we look at that situation and we take our eyes off of Christ. And we abandon our strength. And we look for strength in other places. Maybe in methods. Maybe in something else other than the Lord. Maybe in the ways of the world that seem to be working. Or even in the ways of the erring church that seem to be working better than ours. And we say, see, it's working for them. Let's try their way. Rather than finding our strength in the Lord. If you want to accomplish what the world is accomplishing, then you should fight the world's way. But if you want to accomplish what the Lord is doing, what God is doing in His purposes, which are thorough and long term, then I exhort you to fight God's way and in His strength. In His strength alone. So in order to be prepared to stand in the battle, you must go to your strength. And that is in the Lord and the power of His might. Secondly, in order to stand and be prepared to stand in this battle, we must stand in battle with the right armor. We must stand in battle with the right armor. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And next week, Lord willing, or in a couple weeks, we are going to be looking at what this armor is in particular in verses 14 to 17. But here in this command, in verse 11, there is a distinct command to put on the whole armor of God. And in that command, there are two things. There is an exclusiveness being mentioned and a completeness. And you see that in the words, whole armor. Whole armor. That means that you are not to leave anything out, what Paul is going to talk about in verses 14 to 17, but you are to cover yourself with the armor of God from head to toe. And Paul does that. Metaphorically speaking, he talks about the head all the way down to the feet. And so it is the whole armor of God. We don't pick and choose which pieces of God's armor that we think we need for the battle, because God is telling us here that here is my armor and you need each and every piece of it. But not only that, in just those two little words of God, we see the exclusiveness of this armor. In fact, you are not to only put on the armor of God. You are not to put on any other armor. You are not to trust in any other resource or any other strength. But this armor that comes from God, because it is spiritual armor and you are in a spiritual battle, and to try and put on physical armor or somebody else's armor, then you are going to fall. And so by doing this, we are declaring that we are trusting in God's armor to be sufficient to defend us and to not trust in other armors or other strengths or other ways or other powers. And the other power that we usually tend to rely on is our own strength. Our own strength. When we really must only be relying on the whole armor of God. You may recall in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, at a time when Israel and Judah were battling against each other, King Asa of Judah sought help from other pagan nations for his defense. He did not trust in the power and strength of the Lord. And after he did this, God sent him a seer named Hanani to tell him these words. And this has become one of my go-to verses. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. You have done a foolish thing. What was a foolish thing? To trust in man and his ways rather than to trust in the Lord, who had shown himself to this king over and over again that he was his deliverer. But he did a foolish thing. And so it is a foolish thing to go into battle, to be ill-equipped and not having the proper armor. It is foolish. And armies today lose when they do that, when they're not properly equipped and ready for battle. Notice here in verse 11 that Paul says that you may be able to stand. So there's not only an exclusiveness, only God's armor. There's not only a completeness, all of God's armor. But there is a guarantee here that if you do this, you will be able to stand. But the opposite of that, then, is also true. That if you don't do this, if you do foolish things and rely on some other strength, you won't stand. You'll fall. And so if we want to stand for and with God, we must rely on His strength and His armor alone. Thirdly, we prepare to stand for battle by knowing our enemy. We see this in the last part of verse 11 through verse 13. We prepare to stand for battle by knowing our enemy. Successful armies use intelligence to fight their warfare. When I was in the Army, we had a staff officer. He was called the S2. He was our intelligence officer. And it was his job to gather intelligence about our enemy, who we would be facing, who we would be battling, to know their strengths and to know their weaknesses and to gather all kinds of information. And here in verses 11 and through 13, God has given us an intelligence report. Here in other verses, the first type of intelligence we get from Scripture here is that this is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. And there are all kinds of warfare between men and nations. There is nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. There is guerrilla warfare. There is urban warfare. And the list could go on. But the type of warfare that you find yourself will determine what kind of equipment and tools and weapons that you go into this battle with. By telling us that our battle is not with flesh and blood, the Spirit is telling us, even though men may be used in this battle against us, it is a spiritual battle and will be fought with spiritual weapons, the against spiritual forces. And that may sound just kind of vague and theoretical, but let me give you just some examples of what I mean by this. And it is the examples of Scripture that we have been looking at over the last several weeks. When God calls you to do something, when God calls you by your role in this life, whatever your station may be, you're going to face opposition. And it's spiritual opposition. Though it may look like somebody, some human being, is coming at you, if someone is trying to get you not to do what God is calling you to do, that is a spiritual battle. And so the parents who resort to threatenings or screaming in anger as a parenting style, they get the results they want for a moment, but they're going to lose the battle because they're using their flesh rather than using the tools that God gives them. The child who obeys their parents when their children are looking and thinks they're getting by with it, but not when they're not looking, is fighting the whole wrong battle. Not even seeing who their real enemy is. And the child may think he is winning, when in fact the devil is winning over the child. And the husband who lords over his wife like a tyrant is losing because he is fighting with the wrong armor, the wrong type of warfare, and fighting the wrong person. And yet, he may think he is winning. And that is one of the wiles of the devil. That is one of his schemes. To cause you to think that you are winning because you are winning in the flesh, when in reality you're losing the spiritual battle. Jesus knew about spiritual battles. In Matthew 26:50, we read when the chief religious rulers and others were coming to arrest Jesus, it says, then they came, laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think that I can now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way? You know what Jesus was saying to Peter who struck that servant and cut off his ear? If this was a physical battle, I could call down angels and wipe out every one of these people. But these people, they are not where the battle is. This is a spiritual battle. These men who are in the flesh, he knew that they were doing what their murderous and lying father, the devil, was telling them to do. He had a spiritual battle to fight against the evil one, and he would not be distracted by battles in the flesh and being deceived to think that he had won in the flesh. And again, when Jesus was put on trial before Pilate, he said to him, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, talking physically, deliver me, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. And so when we are persecuted by men, we recognize that they are the weapons of the evil one, the devil. It is a spiritual battle. And so we must go to our strength. We must put on the armor that we need for this battle and really fight the battle where it is. Take it to the devil who is behind these attacks. We fight these battles with the armor of God, not our flesh. We fight these battles by relying on the strength of the Lord and not our own strength. God's Spirit tells us these things so that we may raise our awareness and be ready to stand. Be ready to stand in this battle. Because if you don't, if you seek to fight spiritual battles with fleshly armor and fleshly strength, you will fall. That's the warning that is here. That's the warning. And the encouragement is to put on God's armor and fight in His strength, and then you will stand. Jesus told us that our enemy is the devil. He has been the enemy since the beginning of the devil. He has always been against God. In John 8:44, Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Do you see what He's saying? You are doing what your father wants you to do. Here I am looking at you right in the flesh, but you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is our enemy. He is a murderer and a liar and the father of it. And when you are being attacked by the devil, you are being lied to with the intent of causing you to fall. That's the devil's intent. To strike at you and to cause you to fall. He is a murderer and a liar. And that's his strategy. Paul says the armor of God is to enable us to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word wile speaks to the devil's schemes, to his craftiness, to his methods of doing things, to his strategy. And Jesus said his strategy is lying. Many of our troubles in this life are because we believe in those lies. We also believe that our battles are really in the flesh and not in the spirit. And we also believe the lie that if I can gain control of somebody or get what I want through my fleshly measures, then I have won. While the hearts remain unchanged, ours and others, because they are spiritual battles. Lies that discourage us, lies that tempt us to not believe in the promises of God, lies that cause us to doubt God's goodness, these are the devil's strategies. And so Christ would have you to believe that in His strength and by putting on His armor, you can stand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us about the devil, that we are to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil cannot take you from Christ's hand, but he can sure harass you and he can sure cause you to fall in this life. And the scriptures are here given to us so that that may not happen. The intelligent report given to us here in this passage goes even deeper. Verse 12, it tells us that our fight is not only against the devil, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a way of saying there is a kingdom of darkness, of wickedness. There are rulers of the air that God in His judgment on men has given them over to. In other words, there are evil spirits, evil forces that are actively influencing the actions of men, the actions of rulers and judges and all kinds of people in positions of power, opposing the church on every corner, opposing the truth of God, opposing the family, opposing the godly ones in everything. Do you believe that? We can look at Scripture and see the wiles, the methods of the devil that he has used on men and women. Of course, there is Adam and Eve when he seduced them in the garden with a lie, causing them to doubt God's truth. The devil is a very confident devil, so confident that he went up against whom he knew to be the very Son of God and sought to tempt him, sought to cause Jesus to fall. That's how confident he is. When Peter confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then upon hearing Christ say that he was going to be killed, Peter then said, "This shall never happen to you." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For you savor not the things of God, but the things of man." Satan is against all things that glorify God. And so he will use people. He will move people. He will tempt people to oppose the things of God. Shortly after this, Peter made a great commitment to follow Christ even unto death in his own strength. But when the pressure came and he was tempted to save his own life or stand up in the battle and stand up for Christ, he went the way of his own life to save his own flesh. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel, feeding David's pride as if he had something to do with this great kingdom that God had made him king over. Satan stood up against Israel right beside David and tempted him to go against God. That's the kind of things that the devil does. That's the kind of thing that the devil does in this life, in this time, in this world. He is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. But he does have power, as this intelligence report proves to us, and he does have servants working for him. Also in the scriptures, how many times do we read of people being demon-possessed? Unclean spirits that cause them to convulse, to be ferocious, living in tombs, not able to hear or speak, blindness, throwing themselves into the fire. And the devil is also behind false teachings. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 tells us this. Now the Spirit expressly says in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Have you ever looked at false teaching like that? Do you look at it as like, well, there's old such and so over there, Pastor Joe, whatever his name is, or Bob, whatever his name is, and he's teaching false things. And do you not realize that he who is behind false doctrine is the devil himself? These are spiritual battles. And what about you personally? Are you not sometimes subject to thoughts of doubt and fears and pride? Does not the devil, in his schemes, does he not tempt you to doubt God's promises? Does he not tempt you to feel alone or betrayed or abandoned because of the situation that you are in? And does he not tempt you to doubt God's wonderful care for you? So that when he gets you to do that, you are falling and not standing. These are the wiles of the devil. This is his spiritual warfare against you. And if you are going to be ready for this kind of battle, you need to have this intelligence report. It is from the Lord. It is from Jesus. It is from the Spirit of God. Imagine that if the officer that I mentioned in my unit years ago came back and said to the commander and said, hey, this is what I've learned. This is what I know about the enemy. This is how he fights. And I wanted to tell you that so you can make your battle plan. And the commander says, oh, we're not going to worry about that. We got something else going on. We're going to do something else. I think Hananiah the seer would say to him, and he would say to us, how foolish. How foolish that you did not rely on the strength of the Lord. So do you believe this intelligence report? Will you use it to prepare yourself for battle? Many Christians don't believe it. Many in the church think that demonic influences passed away with the apostles. And the world will think you're crazy. But this is the Word of God. What will you rely on? It's possible that because one sector of the church, such as now, those we might call charismatics, who may have abused the doctrine and reality of demons and the devil, that when, because we don't want to be in that number, we move ourselves completely away from the whole doctrine itself, which who is going to be cheering, yippee, when we do that, except the devil himself. He would rather nothing more than you not believe what the Word of God says about him in this battle that you're in. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to be ready. If you don't believe that God has given you armor, that God has given you strength, and if you don't believe that he has given it to you because you are in a battle, you will fall in that battle. You'll be hurt. You'll be wounded. Verse 13 makes it clear. Since you are fighting against these spiritual forces, you must take up the whole spiritual armor of God. He says it again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. This section is not a new thought, detached from what the Spirit of God who has taught us already in Ephesians. Verses 10 to 13 are not something Paul says, well, I got something else I want to teach you. Verses 10 to 13 are what Paul is saying. Finally, now that I've taught you all these other things, I want you to get this. Because in your call to be filled with the Spirit, to be submitting to your husbands, to be loving your wives, to be obeying your parents, to be raising your children in the Lord, to be working and serving your employer, and to be a master over your employees, in all these things you are going to have an opposition, and you need the strength of the Lord, and you need His armor. Because the battle is real. It's spiritual. And it is real. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. This is God's promise. That you may be able to stand. It's not in the sense of, well, this may help you to stand, or this might enable you to stand. It is a promise that says, with God's strength and in God's armor, you will stand. Because God knows the intelligence report. He has given you the intelligence report. And He has given you the exact armor that you need and strength you need to stand against the devil. This is not being said to cause you to fear, but to cause you to be prepared to stand. And the only way, as the Spirit says here, to stand is to get your strength from the Lord, to be strong in the Lord, and to put on the armor of God. The whole armor of God. Verse 13 also tells us something else. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is this evil day? Is that something that we're looking forward to happening somewhere in the future? You see, a soldier who knows his enemy is prepared to stand every day. And so we must also. When is this evil day? You will not find it on your calendar. And you'll not find it in the scripture that says there is coming an evil day when you must be ready to battle. And I don't know about you, but I've never been able to predict when the evil one comes to me. And so what he's saying is that the evil of the day, this evil day is every day. Does Satan ever give you a break? Does he ever let up? Daily, the devil comes accusing God's people. Daily, the devil comes our way with evil, seeking to cause us not to stand up for Christ, to not follow the Lord in our daily living. This is so closely related to what Jesus said about us and Him and fruit bearing. In John 15, verses 5 to 8, Jesus said this, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without this strength in the Lord, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." This is how Paul started out this passage. Be strong in the Lord. Be being strengthened in the Lord. Finally, that's what he says. On top of everything else I've said. Be strengthened in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. And if we are going to be prepared for this daily battle that we are in, for the Lord, in the Lord, and by the Lord's strength, we must use only His armor and all of His armor that we may stand against the schemes of the devil. And I would ask you to think about the times in your life when you're not using God's armor, when you're not using His strength but yours. And recall, that's something that militaries do as well. After a battle, whether they won or lost, if they're still living, if they're still able, they do what's called an after-action report and they review where did we succeed and where did we fall? Where did we fail to accomplish our mission? And so today we need to do that. Where have I been using my own strength? Where have I been using the strength of the Lord? What has been the fruit of it? You are in a battle. The battle is not coming. The battle is here. Everything that God calls you to do, you're going to be opposed by the evil one. And so you must get your strength from the Lord. and must put on the whole armor of God. And having done all these things, you will be ready to stand. That's God's promise. Yes, the devil is powerful. The devil is evil, and he brings evil all the time. But God is not just more powerful. He is power. And he gives that strength to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his grace and power, you can stand in the battle. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready today? Are you using the things that God has given you to stand, to defeat the evil one? Are you using those things? And we'll look more at those things more specifically the next time we're here in the book of Ephesians. But the application today is, Lord, I need your strength. And I want to put on your armor that I may stand against the wiles of the devil. The question for you is, are you doing that? Or are you relying on the ways of the world, the wisdom of the world, their methods to accomplish fleshly battles? You're in a spiritual battle. Fight a spiritual battle with spiritual armor and the strength of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word, for the clarity of it, Lord, that tells us that in and of ourselves we are weak, and apart from you, we will not stand. We will not produce that fruit that you are looking for in our life. Lord, I pray for each and every person here that today that we first will be calling upon you to be our strength to save us from our sin, and to call upon you to be our strength to walk daily in a way that pleases you. Lord, we ask that you would do these things by your word and your spirit, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.